praises are Allah's, Lord of the worlds. And may his peace and blessings be upon our Master, the Holy Prophet Muhammad, and his pure Immaculate Ahlul Bayt. The aim of all religions is to invite man to absolute perfection.
Excuse me.
Everyone knows that they are, I am, and they know that things are surrounding them and that they exist, these things, and that these things that exist vary in different capacities of perfection. Some are more perfect than others. These are all self-evident truths. I exist, there are things around me, some are more perfect than others. And then man is after perfection. Whoever says, I'm not after perfection, that's not normal. Everyone is after perfection. Some people find perfection in a house, for example, or a car. And the house has a degree of perfection with it. The car is good. And then after a while, the person says, by means of using their rationality, that I want something more perfect. And here one's journey to absolute perfection starts. They don't suffice with the house or the car. They want something more. For example, a book of knowledge or whatever. And then again, with time, they want something more. The journey continues. Then they look for a person with certain qualities, a prophet. Say, this is perfect. This is what I want. But then the prophet also has limitations in time, space. And one keeps on continuing this journey until, although some people stop, most people stop, always during this journey, there are different stations, people stop and they suffice. Their rationality doesn't allow them to journey further. But some people keep on continuing. They're looking for that which is perfect in all aspects, and absolute perfection, because they're always after perfection. They won't stop. So the Prophet has limitations, the book has limitations, and they're looking for something more perfect. Something which isn't limited by time, by space. Something that always was. And here, if one succeeds, one reaches the idea of existence. That is absolute perfection. Pure existence. Has no beginning, it has no end. Everything depends on it. Nothing is existence-less. This is what one is looking for. It's infinite because it has no beginning, has no end. You can't put a beginning to existence. If you do, the question is, what was there before? Either you say existence or you say non-existence. The Urafa believe that non-existence is impossible. And this is a self-evident truth, according to them, which many Elfoni truths are traced back to, that non-existence is impossible. That's why existence has no beginning. That's why existence has no end. And since it has no beginning and it has no end, it's always manifesting. This much one's rationality, if there are no barriers and one isn't veiled in this world, one's rationality can take one this much forward. Under the title of looking for absolute perfection. Because if something was not pre-eternal, it's limited. You're looking for that which is perfect in all things. And that's existence. Pure existence. Existence was pre-eternally. Existence is, existence will be, and it, this existence is and existence will be is exactly the same as existence was. There's no change to it, because that would entail deficiency again, if that existence was to become more or less. This much again, rationality can take one up to this level. So, up to here, one's guide is rationality. I'll stop for now, rationality-wise. Let's go through two or three traditions. These are in Usul-e-Kafi. قَالَ رَجُلٌ إِنْدَهُ A man said before him, before Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. What did he say? He said, Allahu Akbar. Allah is greater. فَقَالَ The Imam said, Allahu Akbar min ayyi shayyin. Allah is greater than what? Than what thing? The Imam is testing him, trying to teach him something. فَقَالَ The man replied, مِن كُلِّ شَيْءٍ than everything. The Imam said, when you said Allahu Akbar, Allah is greater. Greater than what? The man replied, greater than everything. فَقَالَ Abu Abdullah, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, حَدَّتَهُ And this is very important. You've limited him. You've limited Allah. How? Because you said Allahu Akbar means God is greater than everything. You've limited Allah. Why have you limited Allah? Because you see Allah on one side and you see things on the other side. And then Allah is greater than those things. You've separated Allah from things when they're not separate from one another. Everything depends on existence. Everything depends on Allah. Nothing is existence-less. Nothing is Allah-less. When the man said he's greater than everything, Imam Sadiq said you've limited Allah. So the story that once upon a time there's Allah and nothing else, and then Allah creates a thing from no thing, he creates from nothingness, you're limiting Allah. Because there's Allah, one form of limiting him is you're imagining an Allah which is not manifesting for a period of time. That in itself is a limitation. Someone's rationality can say, is that your Allah? Where there's Allah and no manifestation whatsoever, I'm looking for something more perfect. I'm looking for an Allah which is always manifesting. كُلَّ يَوْمٍ هُو فِي شَأْن. يَوْم means manifestation. مَالِكِ يَوْمِ الدِّينِ. Allah is the Malik, the one who is in command of Yawm al-Din. Yawm al-Din is commonly translated as Day of Judgment, but neither the day is correct nor the judgment is correct. Allah is the commander, the controller of the manifestation of deen, religion, of which judgment is a dimension of religion. When all of religion will manifest, does that mean Allah is not the Malik right now? Of course He is. But we're blind. We don't see it. Only on physical death we realize that even here He was Malik all the time. كل يوم, every manifestation, it's Him in dimension, it's existence, pure existence in dimension, existence in this form, that form, X, Y, Z, but there's nothing outside Him, there's nothing outside existence. You can't point to something, say this is non-existent, it's impossible, according to the Urafa. Some theologians though tend and believe that there is non-existence and that Allah does create things, the sun, the moon, etc., etc., from non-existence. And if one believes that, it's okay. Aqa'id, you have to accept, rationality-wise. The Urafa say it's traced back to this reality, that non-existence is impossible. Imam Sadiq, in the tradition we read it, it's you're limiting him. فَقَالَ الرَّجُولَ, I'm just at the end of the tradition, so the man said, كَيْفَ أَقُولَ, how should I say it then? When I say Allahu Akbar, what should I, how should it mean if it's not greater than everything? Qala, the Imam replied, Qul, say Allahu Akbar min ayyusaf. Allah is greater than that which you ascribe Him. That which you ascribe Him to, whatever it is, Allah is greater. Okay. The second tradition, Qala Abu Abdullah alayhi salam, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, أَيُّ شَيْءٍ أَلَّهُ أَكْبَرٍ. Then what is Allah greater? He's asking this to someone. Allah is greater than what? فَقُلْتُ I, the companion here who is with Imam Sadiq, I said, أَلَّهُ أَكْبَرٍ مِنْ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ. He's fallen into the same trap as before. I said that Allah is greater than everything. In the previous tradition, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam replied, you've limited Him. But here, very, very delicate part, this tradition now. Here he replies, وَكَانَ ثَمَّ شَيْءٌ فَيَكُونُ أَكْبَرْ مِنْ. Was there a thing that you're saying Allah is greater than it? Is there a thing that you're saying Allah is greater than it? You see, there is nothing but Allah. He again, because you can't imagine a thing. It's all Him. It's all existence. It's all Allah. فَقُلْتُ I said, وَمَا هُ So what is it? Imam replied, Allahu Akbar min Ayyusaf. Don't say from this Quran thing. He's greater than that which you've ascribed him. He's ascribed to. And then there's one tradition that reads, كَانَ اللَّهُ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ مَعَهُ شَيْءٌ وَلَمْ تَكُنْ مَعَهُ شَيْءٌ Allah was and he wasn't accompanied with anything. And then the second part of the tradition is وَهُوَ الْآنَ And Allah now is كَمَا كَان as he was. You see, existence doesn't change. How existence was and how it will be, is and will be exactly the same. It's just him manifesting. Don't separate creation from him. Creation always was, has no beginning, because he's always manifesting. Man always was, maybe not on earth, but there's always been man. There's always been animals, there's always been planets, there's always been life. Allah's attributes have been in function from pre-eternity to post-eternity without ever being postponed or delayed. Anything other than this, you've attributed deficiency to Allah according to the Urafa. And therefore there is no beginning, because Allah has no beginning. There's no beginning even in creation. There's no beginning in the physical realm of existence. Infinite. And right now, the physical realm has to be infinite. You keep on going. You won't reach any signpost, this is the end. Why? Because if it's the end, what is there beyond? There's either something or there's no thing. If there's something, it proves the point. If there's no thing, the Urafa say nothingness, impossible. Now some of you may say, well, wait. In Jawshan Kabir and in Nahjul Balagha, there are statements that إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَلَقَ الْأَشْيَاءَ مِنَ الْأَدَمِ That Allah creates things from nothingness, from Adam. Here, nothingness is of two types, rationally. I'm not trying to justify it or anything. There are two types of Adam, nothingness. One type is used in opposition to existence, where nothingness means non-existence. Another type of nothingness is used in opposition to essence or definition, just to simplify the term essence for you here. Nothingness is used as non-definition. This book, once upon a time, wasn't. It came from a tree. The tree, paper, slowly, after step by step, it became a book. When we say this book was nothing, we mean the length, breadth, weight wasn't. Not that it came into being from non-existence. It came into being from existence. And that's how Allah creates things. But it was Adam. Adam without definition, size, shape, length, breadth, depth. But don't say it came from nothingness, meaning non-existence. Allah doesn't create like that. Why do we say that? All traced back to non-existence doesn't exist. It's a fitri matter, according to the Orafo. It's a self-evident matter. However, if you don't accept it as a self-evident truth, it's okay. I'm not trying to push you in this direction. I just want to share what the Orafo say in relation to Tawheed. So, it's all existence. Now, this existence we have in the traditions, in the du'as especially. In du'a-i mujir, it's about 150 names of Allah there, and they come in pairs. Subhanaka ya ma'abud, glory be to you, O worshipped one. Then it says, Ta'alayta, exalted are you, Ya Mawjood. Ya Mawjood. Everyone accepts this door. O existence, or O existent, it doesn't matter here. When Allah is Mawjood, existing, that means nothing is independently existing in this world. Nothing. When Allah is a wali, that means no one is a wali. Whatever attribute Allah has, nothing else has this attribute. Nothing. And when we say Amirul Mu'mineen, the Imams, the Prophets are wali, this wali is neither original nor is it independent. It's purely dependent upon Allah. The Imams have nothing of themselves. And it's that nothingness which is all their value. Al-faqru fakhri. That poverty, that nothingness is my honor, the Holy Messenger said. We'll speak about it tonight and tomorrow night. I want to just open aspects of Tawheed. And then the two nights after that, on Shafa'a, inshallah. You're Mawjood. So Allah is Mawjood, nothing else is Mawjood. La ilaha illallah. There's no existence but Him. It's all Him. And there are other du'as, which I won't read now, but we have Mawjood here a lot. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the whole truth of existence. Huwa al-awwalu wal-akhiru wal-dhahiru wal-batin. He is the whole truth, the whole truth of it. The first, the last, the outer, the inner. It's all Him. There's no gap. There's no Allah-lessness. There's no existence-lessness. Whatever is, it's the first, last, inner, outer, everything. It's Him. It's like, although this is just an analogy, don't get too drowned in the analogy. In a clothes shop, there's nothing but thread. It's all thread. There's nothing but thread in the clothes shop. Me and you, when we go, we see the shirt. We see the pair of trousers. We see the pair of gloves. We see the hat. The Sufi sees nothing but thread. There's nothing but thread there. But kulla yawmin, every manifestation is who? Is Him? In this example, it's thread. Fi shan, in dimension, in mold, in shape. The thread manifests, is reflected. It's a pair of gloves, pair of trousers. But there's nothing but thread there. There's nothing but existence in reality. Then we see the hat. Is the hat warming your head or is it the thread? We get drowned in the hat. We see the hat. The Sufi sees the thread. All actions are attributed to the thread, the Sufi say, knows this. We attribute it to the hat. The hat is nothing. The hat is nothing. If there's no thread, the hat doesn't exist. We say the hat is beautiful, and we attribute beauty to the hat. The Sufi attributes beauty to the thread. The same with Allah, the same with existence. It's all attributed to existence. But we get drowned in the multiplicities of the world. And so on and so forth. But the whole of existence is Him. The truth of existence, its whole entirety, is Allah. هُوَ الْأَوَّلُ وَالْآخِرُ وَالْظَاهِرُ وَالْبَاطِنُ. Allah is with all things and people at all times. هُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَ مَا كُنْتُمْ. Wherever you are, He's with you. No thing, no person can be existence-less. No one can be accompanied without existence. In chapter 215, فَأَيْنَ مَا تُوَلُّوا فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ. Wherever you turn, there is the face of Allah. There is the essence of Allah. But we are drowned in the multiplicities, in the essence, in the definitions, in the manifestations, in the hat, the gloves, the trousers, the shirt. We're drowned. But we have to try to see Him. We are seeing Him everywhere we turn, but we're not aware, we don't recognize Him. In the verse where Yusuf sees the brothers, the Quran says, because Yusuf is in one side of the room, the brothers are on the other side of the room. Yusuf is seeing the brothers physically. The brothers are seeing Yusuf alayhi salam physically. But then the Quran says, فَأَرَفَهُ أَرَفَهُ. But Yusuf recognized, was aware, had irfan in relation to them. Whilst seeing them physically, he knew what he was seeing. He was aware, had irfan. وَهُمْ لَهُ مُنْكِرُونَ. But they, while seeing, they were denying Him. We too, we are seeing Allah everywhere, but we're denying Him. We're not seeing the thread. When they say, what is the purpose of creation? Some or four have answered four words. Being, being, and being, being. Being, being, the first being, capital B. The second being, small b. Being, being. And the third and fourth being, being. The third being, small b. The fourth being, capital B. Being, being, and being, being. The first clause, being, being, is in relation to Allah, but we can't say this is Allah's goal or purpose of creation. That would be wrong. Being is being. Allah, existence, absolute perfection, that always was from pre-eternity to post-eternity. And that post-eternity existence is one and the same as pre-eternity. It's just manifesting. Absolute perfection, just Allah, existence is. It's not reaching towards an aim. It is. Allah is. Existence is. In the verse, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. They haven't created jinn kind and humankind. I haven't created jinn and man, save that they worship me. Here, this save that they worship me is associated with creation, the object of the sentence, not the subject. The subject doesn't need an aim to get to somewhere, doing something so that something gets somewhere. He is. He was, is, will be existentially the same. Liya'abudun, say that they worship me, is a purpose of creation in relation to creation, not in relation to Allah. It's a delicate point. Allah is absolute perfection, just is. Ibn Arabi, in his Futuhat, he takes the literal meaning of jinn and ins. Jinn literally means that which isn't seen, is hidden, concealed. And this particular jinn that we speak of, it is concealed. We don't see it. It's physical, but we don't see it. He's extended this verse a bit. And therefore, within this definition, the malaike, the angels, fall under the category of jinn. Jinn, the literal meaning. Because angels, too, are not seen. This is quite an important point, actually. Because when Iblis, when the angels were told to prostrate, and they didn't, they did, except for Iblis. Iblis was an angel. And the Quran says he was a jinn. Yes, he was a jinn. But being a jinn doesn't go against being an angel. One can be both. Although this has to be opened up a bit. Now's not the time for that. People then get diverted on something else. Sheikh Tusi says that Iblis was an angel. Some scholars say that Sheikh Tusi, one of the great scholars of Islamic history, they say, Sheikh Tusi, you're wrong, because the Quran says Kana min al-jinn, that he was of the jinns. Don't you think Sheikh Tusi saw that verse of the Quran when he said Iblis was an angel? The answer to this lies in this interpretation of Ibn Arabi's. That jinn is that which is concealed. He's extended the meaning a bit. He's taking the literal meaning. And that's what one has to do with the Quran, instead of jumping towards the technical meanings. Jinn is that which is concealed. Angels included. Ins is that which we're acquainted with. We see, we sense. And man is just one example of that. Anyway, that was just a marginal point here. Being, that's the first clause. And then the second clause, being, small b, then capital B, that is our aim, to be that existence, to be in unity with it, with awareness. And then Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, in relation to Allah, in relation to liya'budun, he said, liya'arifun, say that they have gnosis in relation to me. Gnosis, that you have to be in unity with him, and we are in unity with him right now, but with awareness. That's the goal. Otherwise, from Allah's end, it had to be, creation had to be. There's no way other than that. He is. Creation is his manifestations. You can't even question that. It's like a painter, the best painter in the world. You tell them, where are your paintings? If he says, I only have one painting, that's a deficiency to that painter. his existential existence dictates that he has to keep on painting, the best painter in the world. Allah's existential existence that dictates is always manifesting. And that manifesting is never cut. It's never mutually exclusive to Allah. It's all Him, but in dimension, from pre-eternity to post-eternity. And now when we go to Surah Al-Ikhlas, قُلْ هُ, say Him. This Him isn't a pronoun, it's a name of Allah. It's one of Allah's hidden names. Say قُلْ هُ. If you like, that pure existence, say that pure existence. Allah. It's an external name of Allah. It's an external name of that who, Him. Allah. What the theologians call Allah, the Urafa say who. The philosophers call it pure existence. Pure existence, not existence qua existence. Even that can be questionable. Because there's a difference between absolute existence and existence absolute. Sometimes you look at existence qua existence. That is a manifestation of pure existence. So it's not technically correct. Qul hu. Say Him. Pure existence. Allah, that's His external name. Ahad, one. But this is not a numerical one. It's an existential one. Not a one that has a two, three, and four. Not a one that then from nothingness something came separate from that one, which is now two or three. No. A one that everything is from that one. Ahad, because pure existence has to be one. Has no beginning, can't have a beginning, has no end. Allahu Samad, Samad means Huwa al-awwal wa al-akhir wa al-dhahir wa al-batin. There's nowhere which is existence free. It's all Him. Lam yalid, He doesn't give birth. Okay, we take that as one meaning, the external meaning. Esoterically, nothing becomes separate from Allah. When a mother gives birth, the child becomes separate from the mother. Allah manifests existentially, but nothing becomes separate from Allah. Lam yalid, wa lam yulad. Allah wasn't begotten. Allah was never a part of a greater whole. It's all Him. Everything depends on Him. He wasn't begotten. See, now this has a different meaning. This verse, this surah is important. One of the reasons that it's recommended always, at least once a day, to recite it. It's the identity of Allah is being expressed in this surah. So here we see there are different types of tawheed. One is a numerical tawheed, where there's Allah, then nothing, then that from nothingness, existence come. You've treated those as mutually exclusive to Allah. That kind of tawheed many Jews have. فَأَبَوَاهُ يُحَوَّدَانِهِ. The tradition that we started off with a few nights ago. Be careful. Be careful how you want to understand Tawheed. Although the minimum is, you believe that Allah is one. That much is minimum, is accepted. Don't think just because you have a better academic Tawheed, you're better than others. That Tawheed which is incorporated within you and makes you act, that has value. Otherwise, if you know everything there is to know about academic Tawheed, it's still of no use. It has to be incorporated within you, where you see the unity of actions, unity of attributes, and so on and so forth. Imam Hussein, alayhi salam, in Du'ay Arafah, he says, تَرَدُّدِي فِي الْآثَارِ يُوجِبُ بُعْدَ الْمَزَارِ. My perusing through the manifestations leads to my being distanced from you, Allah. We have to not be drowned in the multiplicities. With that analogy, in the gloves, in the trousers and everything. The more you get drowned in the gloves, the trousers, the shirt, you're getting distanced from the thread. كَيْفَ يَسْتَدِلُّ عَلَيْكَ مَا هُوَ فِي وُجُودِهِ مُفْتَغِرٌ إِلَيْكَ. How can we prove you by means of something which depends on you existence-wise? Going back to the clothes shop, it's a joke to prove the existence of the thread by means of the shirt or the gloves, which depend on the thread existentially. And then you say, let's prove the thread by means of the shirt. That's a fallacy. Because that shirt, it's all thread. How can we prove you by means of something, a shirt? How can we prove you, a thread, by means of something, a shirt, which the shirt wholly depends on you?
أَيَكُونُ لِغَيْرِكَ مِنَ الظُّهُورِ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ حَتَّى يَكُونَ هُوَ الْمُظْهِرُ لَكَ.
Is there any manifestation which is not in unity with you for it to manifest you? Look at these important questions Imam is putting here. The answer to this question, مَتَى غِبْتَ حَتَّى تَحْتَاجَ إِلَى دَلِيلٍ يَدُلُّ عَلَيْكَ. When were you ever absent, Samadi Tawheed, existential Tawheed? When were you ever absent so that you need something to prove you? You were never absent. وَالْأَوَّلُ وَالْآخِرُ وَالْظَاهِرُ. Existence was never absent. It's all him. Non-existence is impossible.
There are other clauses. My time's up. Finally, there's a poem that Ayatollah Hassan Zadeh says in one's quest to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one's quest to absolute existence. Because it's important, you have to define Allah before wanting to search for Him. You know, depending on how you see Allah, you believe in the sun, moon, animals, planets, and now you say, I want to find Allah. Well, if that's your question, your quest, you're doomed from the start. Now, Ayatollah Hassan Zadeh in one of his poems, he says, oh Allah, many people say, where? Where's Allah? Where's Allah? But Hassan, that's his name, but Hassan says him. Who? It's all him. Where are you going? Imam Sadiq alayhi salam replied, Haddatta, you've limited him.
Allahumma